This is Real Estate Rookie Show number 32.
And while she's saying this, I'm thinking, I know what home equity line of credit is, but my parents are not going to do this. Like, there's no possible way that they'll do this. She basically talked them into it at the table. So I was able to pull out $110,000 home equity line of credit on my parents' home.
My name is Ashley Kerr, and today we had a guest on who is immediately, as he got on the Zoom call, asked me about Felipe's biceps before Felipe.
If you guys don't drop this bicep thing, we're going to be on episode 100 and people are still going to, like, I literally am, when I work out, I'm like self-conscious about that. I'm like, okay, extra couple reps because Ashley's going to bug me about it.
That's what I was thinking about. It's like, now you have to like really keep up the
biceps. I have to. I really do. Jeez, it's wild. Anyway, so today we have Prescott on the show and probably one of the funnest episodes we've done in a while. Prescott's in the military. He's a full-time nurse. He has two rental properties, soon to be four because he's building. He talks about how he leveraged his parents' HELOC against their house to finance deals. This guy is amazing. He's crushing it.
Everyone's going to be so annoyed as to how many times I laughed during this episode. And I apologize in advance, but it was so fun. And he has really good stories, but also great advice. Like at the end, me and Felipe were both like shocked at one point he made about his cash flow and then a 5-minute phone call. It was just like light bulb moment. That is so true. So let's bring on our guest.
We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a complete breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. So Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability and earnings. With Plaid certified tenant income and asset reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. It's time to say goodbye to that whole gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. Now, Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. Visit rentready.com. That's rentredi.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor for 6 months of Rent Ready for only $1.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Rookies, 2024 is the year to start protecting your rental properties with an LLC. But you don't have to do all the paperwork and filing yourself. Corporate Direct is your professional and affordable option for getting your LLC done right. They handle the state filings, draft your operating agreement, and act as your registered agent. They'll even help you comply with the Corporate Transparency Act, a new federal disclosure law affecting every real estate investor. Corporate Direct is a family business founded by attorney, author, and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton over 35 years ago. Now, his son Ted is a licensed attorney working with him. Together, they've helped thousands of real estate investors form and maintain their LLCs and protect their assets. If you're trying to build a real estate portfolio, do not skip the LLC. Head over to corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets to schedule a free 15-minute consultation with an incorporating specialist. Mention Real Estate Rookie and get a $100 discount on your formation. That's corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets.
Prescott, welcome to the show. We are really excited to have you here today. And I heard a little bit of you and Felipe talking before we started recording that he actually reached out to you on Instagram. So let's talk about that little bromance first.
I guess you could call it bromance. So of course you guys are famous to me, basically. Listen to Bigger Pockets over the past 6 years of my life. And I told my best friend, I was like, Felipe hit me up because we're huge Bigger Pockets fans. And he was like, stop lying. I don't believe you. So I was waiting and I showed him my Instagram DM. And we had one of those going crazy moments. And it was just, it was pretty special to me. And it's been a couple of months, but getting a chance, the opportunity to be on the show, it's like a dream come true.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you. And I remember when I was a guest on the Bigger Pockets OG podcast, and I had that same shriek and squeal.
Ashley, I was telling Prescott, I was like, man, I really enjoy having, real estate investors that just don't fit the mold. I don't want not underdogs because that's not what it is, but definitely just out of the box investors. I know, and I'll let Prescott tell his story here in a second, but I know that he's like in the Air Force and he's like an ICU nurse and he like does all these things, but he also invests in real estate. And as a young man in investing, I think that's really important, especially with what he's done. And before we even do anything, Prescott, I just want to thank you first of all for your service, for what you're doing for our country. Thank you so much. That does not go, underlooked, undervalued by any means. And we are actually honored to have you on the show. So I just want to make sure that you know that.
Appreciate the support, Felipe.
Absolutely.
So why don't you get into a little bit of your background and how you got into real estate investing?
Okay, let's do it. So I'm currently a full-time ICU nurse, as Felipe was saying, working with the sickest of the sick patients. I've been Air Force Reserve for 6 years, and I'm in the process of going officer right now with my nursing degree. And I also own a nonprofit charity called Impact Our Youth that focuses on giving back school supplies and scholarships to younger people. And I was also a terrible real estate agent for a couple of years. So that's my background as far as jobs and everything. And right now I have two rental properties. And I have one house under contract, and I'm about to start building two new constructions that I already have all the materials for.
That's awesome. And the first thing I thought of was, okay, you're only 23 and you've already done all this stuff.
Excuse me, I'm 24. I turned 24 on 2 days ago, September 6th.
Oh, happy birthday.
He is so grown up. 24. Look at that baby face. 24. No, I'm 24. Yeah, that reminds me like when I was younger and people were like, oh, he's 13. Nope. I'm 14 years old and I'm.
I almost hit y'all with a 23 and a half.
Yes. Lord.
Prescott, I want to dig into a little bit about your charity, if that's okay. What interested you in that? I don't hear a lot of people at 24 giving back to a charity. So talk a little bit about that.
I just remember growing up how there were so many people. Of course, I went to public school and there were so many people who were like disadvantaged. And a lot of people just don't realize like having to ask your friend for a pencil every day in class, like even that is something that can set you back. And when I got older, I was like, man, there's something that I want to do about this. And I came up with the idea to do a back to school supply giveaway. And I was like, it'll just be a small giveaway or whatever. And I ended up giving out 350 fully filled book bags the first year. And after that, I was like, let's just make it a nonprofit and make it official. And it turned out great. It's been great for my city too.
That's amazing. That's really cool because I think a lot of times people don't see how just even having the essentials at school is really, really important and how that can set you up for life. I know me growing up with a single mom, I would get in trouble sometimes in school because I didn't have all my supplies and I was just too embarrassed to say, we just can't afford them. And that's exactly why I have to hustle my way through a pencil or, things like that. So like how they send you that list of paper that you need
it's
to
so
get.
It's so long every year.
It's so long and it gets longer. And my mom was like, okay, that's $200 times three kids. That's not easy to do. So it'd be like, all right, Felipe, 1 month, you're going to have half your list. The next month, you're going to have the other. And by then kids are already a month ahead because I didn't have. Anyways, like, dude, I think that's awesome. I think that's super cool that what you're doing, but let's get into your real estate. So give us a 30,000 foot view of your portfolio. If you want to tell us a little bit about the deals that you've done, and then we'll dig into one key part of whichever one you would like.
Okay, so like the 30,000 foot view of my portfolio, as I was saying, is the two rental properties I have. One's in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which is central Mississippi. It's a 1,500 square foot, 3-bed, 2-bath home. And I have a Katrina Cottage in Pasture Stand, Mississippi, which is on the coastline. And it's a 1-bed, 1-bath home. The two new constructions will both be 1,500 square feet, 3-bed, 2-baths right next to each other. And then the property I have under contract is a probate deal that I actually got it in connection with the house, the Katrina Cottage that I bought. So that's a 30,000 foot view of what I have going in real estate at this moment.
What made you decide that you'd want to get into real estate? Did you have like a light bulb moment? Was there a mentor or someone that had told you about it?
This is a great story. So I took this class called Skills for Success in Financial Planning my senior year. So my senior year of high school, like, you know, the last semester when everyone can like leave school early, one of my football coaches talked me into taking this class, and he had to talk me into taking it because I really didn't want to. And the first couple of weeks, they were talking about investing and all these ideas that were kind of foreign to me. And then one day they started talking about generational wealth and financial freedom. And they were talking about it through dividend stocks and real estate and passive income. And I fell in love with those ideas. And I remember in that class, he said, I need y'all to listen to a podcast for our homework on something that you're interested in. And that night I went home and listened to the real estate guys. And I was like, man, I don't really like their voices. I hate to say
this. That's the wrong podcast. Yes,
because they're going to hear. And the next day I listened to the real estate. I listened to the Bigger Pockets podcast. They're on like episode 12 of the OG show. And I've listened to every episode since then.
Really?
So,
wow.
So that's when I first got started. And through college, I would listen. I commuted. So I would listen to them on my way to college, and I would listen to another real estate podcast on my way home, along with listening to reading every book I could about real estate and finances. So I was investing in real estate before I was investing in real estate for sure.
How many years did you listen to these before you actually took your first action?
Okay, so my senior year of high school till when I graduated nursing school. So 4 years of college, I listened to every episode. And this was before I had basically any extra money to my name. So I knew I wasn't going to be able to get my feet wet. But when the time comes, I was like, I'm going to be as prepared as I can be.
That's a really cool story. And I want everyone who's listening right now to screenshot their phone or screenshot this YouTube video or whatever they're doing, because this is going to be a future millionaire. You have so much knowledge packed in your head and you're just oozing real estate and you're ready to take action. I mean, you've already taken action on so many deals going forward. That's going to be amazing. So, I mean, anyone and everyone who's listening, mark this as part of their bookmark on their phone, because this guy is going to be the next millionaire for sure. So, Prescott, I love the story. You became a nurse through college, but can you tell us really quick a little bit about your Air Force, how you did that? And then I want to dig into the real estate.
Okay, so I had a year of college already completed when I started because of AP and like dual credit classes in high school. So basically I knew that I was already a year ahead of where I needed to be in college. And there was no way that I was going to be able to pay for college completely on my own with just the scholarships I had. So I was like, man, what can I do? So I decided that I was going to join the Air Force Reserves right before starting my first semester of college. So I joined the Air Force Reserves, be air transportation specialist loading airplanes. And that way I was able to pay for my college completely without any debt, which was a huge thing for me because I'm reading all these books about finances, like The Richest Man in Babylon and stuff like that.
Oh, that's a really good book. I love that book.
So the Air Force gave me the opportunity to pay for my college out of pocket without going into any debt. And that really catapulted me into the future of real estate investing because I didn't have to pay that off before I got started.
The fact that you even looked for opportunities as to how to go through college without taking on debt just like sets you apart from so many people, because it's so easy just to take on student loans because it's normal. Everybody has student loans, but you took something that maybe even wasn't even in your comfort zone too. I mean,
it was
not a ton of, yeah.
I was the guy who always said I'd never join the military. Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. I think that really shows your passion and dedication to creating that financial freedom, that very well personal finance and setting the foundation for your future. So I think that that's really cool.
Thank you, Ashley. And it's been great for me.
Yeah. Let's talk about the first deal though. So how did you find it and take us through it?
Okay, so the first deal, I knew I was going to buy a house as soon as I graduated college because I was going to have a consistent job and decent money, which as y'all know, I've been waiting for this for like 5 years. So I'm already super excited. So I secured a job about 2 months before I graduated nursing school. And my dad has a relationship with a lender at a community bank, which is what I was super excited about, because listening to the OG show, it's always find a community bank that does portfolio loans and that can give you a high refinance as far as the loan to value. And so,
can you describe real quick what a portfolio loan is for everyone?
Our portfolio loan is like, instead of taking out individual loans on a property, you can take out loans against like your entire portfolio or even lines of credit. So it works out great. And so I'm thinking in the future, this is what I'll need it for. Cause right now, I mean, I don't have anything. And so I went to this lender. I was telling her my situation. I told her all my goals, which my goals are, I want 100 rental units by 30 that fit into my rental requirement list. And I want to have a $4 million net worth by 30. And also 300K in passive income. All of these goals by 30. I'm telling her this and thinking that she's going to offer like a VA loan or FHA loan, something conventional to do since I have a decent job now. And she's like, Prescott, I'm going to tell you this in front of your parents. And this is what y'all should do. And this is going to change your life. And my parents they're older. My mom's 59, my dad's 60, and they have their home paid off. And she said, your parents should pull out a home equity line of credit on their home. And while she's saying this, I'm thinking, I know what home equity line of credit is, but my parents are not going to do this. Like, there's no possible way that they'll do this. She basically talked them into it at the table that they should pull out a home equity line of credit because this is going to help me accomplish my dream so much faster because I basically be able to buy rehab, rent, and refinance, repeat, and continually use this home equity line of credit. And my parents went for it, and that was... it was amazing for me. So I was able to pull out $110,000 home equity line of credit on my parents' home.
So let's talk about that a little bit, Prescott, because I think that's really important because you hear this generational wealth word tossed around a lot, right? You're like, oh, generational wealth. But what does that look like in story form? And I think you just explained it without knowing. Your parents are able to now pass on their wealth through you. You will be able to pull out a home equity line of credit on your kids for them to continue your legacy. This is what generational wealth looks like. I'm always struck by when people are selling their homes in the hood or the ghetto or whatever because gentrification is coming in. Instead of just pulling a line of credit or a HELOC, don't sell the property, pull a HELOC on it, allow someone else to use it or yourself as a down payment for the next rental property, continuing that generational wealth. Stop selling your property unless you are in an emergency. I think it's perfect what your parents did for you, Prescott, which was give you a home equity line of credit after 4 years of self-education with bigger pockets. And I think it's perfect. And now I bet you're able to refinance and pay them back and then be able to keep use that over and over and over again.
Exactly. Exactly. And my parents basically told me, you know, if you were just any kid, we probably wouldn't have done that, but they've been watching me read real estate books and talk about finances and bore them to death about real estate when I don't have anything. And so they're like, hey, if anybody's going to do this the right way, it's him. So they were able to be talked into that.
Dad, I know you are listening to this episode right now. Go back and repeat that. I've been trying to get him to take out a line of credit on the building that his business is in. And he's been thinking about selling it. And like, Felipe, what you just said was don't sell it. You know, keep using the equity in it over and over
again. Okay, hold on. Ashley, what's your dad's name? What's your dad's name? Mike, do not give Ashley a loan. Everyone else you can give it to, but Mike, don't give Ashley a loan.
I wanted to be a private lender so bad. And I keep like bringing him these deals and they're like, oh yeah, no. Think about it, whatever. And like, he hasn't pulled the trigger yet. So dad, listen to that.
Anyways, Prescott. Okay. So what did you do with the line of credit? Walk us through what happened next.
Okay. So with the line of credit, I found a house looking through Zillow and I got in contact with a real estate agent in that city of Hattiesburg. And I basically was looking for homes that fit into my rental requirement list. So any investor will tell you, take the emotion out of the deal. It needs to objectively fit into a list that you want to buy as a rental property. And that list for me is a home that has 150% ARV, 25% equity upon rehab ending. It needs to be in a neighborhood where I feel comfortable picking up the rents from. And of course, falls into the 1% rent rule. And I basically combed the MLS and Zillow and found a couple of homes that fit the mold as far as that rental requirement list is concerned. And I found a house that was about a minute away from a major hospital, a minute away from a major university. And it was listed for $55,000. 55,000, and it had been on the market for about 5 to 6 months with a couple of price reductions. So of course I'm thinking I could get a deal out of this. The home is 1800 square feet, 3-bed, 2-bath. I mean, it has great bones, but it looks like the guy who owned it before me had started a rehab and just ran out of money. I mean, they had about 1,000 square feet of flooring, ceramic tile, light fixtures, toilets, and an AC unit and hot water tank on the property that just wasn't hooked up. So I finally came up with, I was going to put an offer in on this property, and I went 15,000 below the asking price of 40,000. And right before I got my agent to submit the property, I'm just thinking, you know, like, what more can I ask for to make this deal beneficial? Of course, he's probably going to say no, it's 15,000 below asking price. So I decided that I was going to ask for it for $40,000 contingent upon all the material being left in house. And it was accepted the next day. The next day.
Wow.
That's amazing. I love those. I have found one or two of those where people like run out of money. And in that situation, it benefits you and that person. They just need their money out and you have a great deal to move forward on. I think that's amazing. All right. So sorry, I don't want to cut you off. Keep going. What happened next?
Okay. So over the next 3 months, I lived in the house. So I'm a new nurse working 12-hour shifts, like almost every day. And then I come home and work in the home for about 4 hours. And of course I had help. I subcontracted out some stuff like plumbing, electricity, but I was sleeping on an air mattress in this house that somehow found a new hole every night. So I woke up on like the flat floor every night. And I mean, we turned this house out. I completely like sanded the outside house, repainted the outside and inside, had to do a little sheetrock work in the back, completely ran new electricity. And I put flooring down, but I mean, I did all of this with the material that was left in the house. I used that AC wow. unit. I used that flooring. I used that ceramic tile in the bathrooms. And I basically just, I fought it out for those 3 months. And it sounds like it's terrible, but I tell y'all, this might've been the best 3 months of my life. Cause it was like, I finally get to get started.
How did you learn to rehab properties and do this work when you were younger?
My dad is actually a contractor. I still live with that. So I've been exposed to this stuff my whole life. So I feel like I finally had all of this real estate knowledge, which really wasn't that much that I came to find out once I started doing deals. But but I had all of this book knowledge and I had my hands on a lot of different construction activities my whole life. So it was like it culminated for me to finally get this.
You don't have to be humble, Prescott. You can tell us you had YouTube up sitting on the screen while you were fixing the patch, just watching Investor Girl Britt show you how to fix a patch.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I definitely had a couple. I remember when I was doing the backsplash, like in the granite, behind the granite in the kitchen, I was literally like watching the YouTube video as I went through every step. But some of the stuff I already know.
We've all been there. We've all been there. I'm not above it. We've all been there. Oh yeah, absolutely agree. Okay, so you found the deal. You just found it on the MLS, and that goes for people. That was just off the MLS, right, Prescott?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean that goes to show where people are like, oh, I can never find deals on the MLS. Like, how do people get off market deals? Like, no, you can still find it. You just have to build out your criteria like you did. I love what you said earlier where you had your criteria and then you started looking for a deal. I think a lot of people start looking for a deal and try to fit it into a criteria, which is, I think, the opposite way to do it. You fill out exactly what you want. You're like, okay, I want this, 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 and this. You go on realtor.com or Zillow. You put as many of those tabs that you can, and then you allow it to bring it to you. And if that deal fits the mold that you have for your personal individual goals, then it's going to work. Don't do it the opposite where you try to find a deal to fit. You try to find a deal and then create a mold. It's like, no, do what Prescott did. Create your mold. Figure out what it is that you're looking for. Is it cash flow? Is it equity? What is it that you want? High ARV, whatever. And then find deals that work for that. And you're going to find them just like you did.
Amen.
So you got the deal. You started rehabbing it. What happens next?
So I put about $25,000 into it. So I bought it for $40,000, put $25,000 into it. And I lived in it for about 3 months. And while I was living in it for those 3 months, I found another deal in Pascagoula, which I'm sure I'll talk about later, which is the Katrina Cottage. So I found that deal and I had a job offer at a super amazing hospital in Bay St. Louis, which is right next to the city of Pascagoula. And I decided that I was going to come home. So, of course, my parents are thinking I'm going to rent out the house in Hattiesburg because they've been listening to me talk about real estate my whole life. And so, of course, I rent out the house in Hattiesburg and I remodeled the property in Pascagoula that I bought and had it ready to rent in about 4 days after buying it. Wow. And so they're thinking I'm going to move to that house, but I pulled off this magic trick where I rented out both houses in like a 2 week period and moved back home with my parents.
Wait, they thought they got rid of you by pulling a HELOC. They were like, yes, he's out of the house. This guy goes and rents both houses and moves back.
Gotta be smarter than that.
Ultimate house hack. That's a Super Saiyan house hack right there. That's a love.
And
it.
Like, people joke and like make fun of people for like living at home till they're 30, but honestly, like, you save so much money and it's so smart to do.
Prescott, what's your dad's name?
Unless maybe you're married with kids and you're mooching off your parents, but yeah, I think that's like a great way to house hack is to live with your parents as long as possible.
Every parent listening to this is like, no, Ashley, stop saying that. I don't want them back.
It's been great. I'm scared to give Felipe my dad's name. He might feel taken advantage of.
I'm going to call him out. No, that's awesome. So, Prescott, what did you do with that first deal? Did you refinance it? How'd you get your money out? Do you have it paid off? What's the scenario now on the back end? What do the numbers look like?
Yeah, I want to know too, like, what was your deal with your parents too? Did you pay the HELOC like directly, or did you pay them some extra interest too? How did they kind of benefit from it?
They were super cool about it. So I basically just pay the HELOC as if it's in my name, and they know I'm not going to miss any payments or anything. So they almost act like it's just not even theirs. They treat it as if the HELOC is mine. So
I even offered my dad extra interest to do it.
And he still wouldn't do it?
Look, Prescott's supposed to offer you his HELOC. Girl, come here. I got you. Pay me interest.
Yeah. So in the first house, I only had $65,000 taken out of the HELOC. So I really wasn't thinking refinance at that time because I still had some money left over. And the other deal, I ended up buying for $25,000. So what I did was, when I rented out the house in Hattiesburg, I was all in at 65. I knew the house was worth anywhere between about 125 and 150. And so I rented it out for $1,300. And I found a tenant through the Zillow rental application app that's paid for at the tenant's cost. And it shows you like their credit history and criminal history report. And it was like great and helping me find good people. And basically, after I narrowed down that list, I just talked to people and I found someone who was willing to rent for $1,300 a month on the property I only had $65,000 into.
So
insurance and taxes on it's like $100 a month too. So I was cash flowing like $600, $700 every month, which I've been doing that for about a year now on that house.
So you didn't refinance it or anything? You just leave it as is?
I did, but I refinanced it after I bought the house in Pascagoula. And now I'm using the refinance on that house to build the two new constructions.
I believe that's really? Called the stack. That's amazing, Prescott. Good for you, dude.
Okay, let's talk about this new construction because I'm looking at building a duplex in Texas right now. So let's dig into that process. What made you decide to do that?
Okay, so the new construction goes with the probate deal, okay? So when I bought this probate deal...
Real quick, what's a probate deal, Prescott? Can you explain that to our listeners and then we'll move on?
Of course. A lot of people think like if your parent dies and you're an only child that you immediately get deeded a property. But probate is the legal process that it goes through before you own that property free and clear.
Got it.
Okay. There's a lady in my city, and she was like, Prescott, I see all of the stuff you're doing real estate, because I always was posting my rehabs and like my yearly goal list and stuff. And her daughter had showed her, and she was like, well, my parent just passed away, and she's a lady who's doing well for herself. But a lot of people just don't want to deal with the day to day hassle of being a landlord. And she was like, would you mind going look at the house? So of course, I went and looked at it that day. She was like, how much would you be willing to pay? And I told her $25,000, and she was like, perfect, fine. And so we met with a real estate attorney that day, and he drew up the contract for us, and I already had the $25,000 available.
That day?
Yeah, to start up the paperwork, not to sign everything, but to start it up. And then the $25,000 I had from the home equity line of credit, and I paid her at the table, and she was like, well, Prescott, you've been so great with everything so far because it was just a real smooth process. And she was like, well, I own the three lots next to it. And she quit claim deeded to me at the closing table. And I was like, oh, well, thank you.
I'll take them too. Are you serious? For nothing?
It happened because, I mean, I think it was just probate deals. There's already a lot going on. And it was an extremely smooth process. And anything that would have gotten in the way, I would have cleared it up and made it to where it was something she didn't have to deal with. And she just felt good about that deal. And she deeded me, she quit claim deeded me the lots next door, and that's where I'm building the two new constructions.
Wow, I'm still in shock.
Yeah, and they're like a block off the beach in Pasco Stan. So it's like, jeez. Super nice.
Trying to get rid of one? What's up?
Trying to get rid of one? We had another guest on the show talking about how they got another deal because they made it a smooth transaction for the seller. And I think that is so important to, you know, hear them out, listen to them, make sure the process is working for them as well as you. And I mean, this is the second example. I think we recorded that episode a couple of weeks ago of just how much having that good nature with someone can really benefit you in the long run too.
Yeah. And it is. I just think you have to value like relationships over. I know money is important in like being a real estate investor, but you just have to value relationships in this business because it's a relationship business. And actually, she had another home that went through a probate process. And that's the property that I have under contract. So it's been great with this lady.
Yeah.
So. See, that's really important, Prescott. The value of, like you just said a minute ago, not just going for the money, but for the relationships, because you never know what people have in their back pocket. Just because they're selling one property doesn't mean they don't have 11 that they're thinking about selling next year, that you're going to be the first person they think of because you've made that transition so smooth. And now you've created an exit for that person and an in for yourself, which is a win-win for everyone. In real estate, I believe that a transaction can and should go both ways, where both parties are equally happy at the closing table. And I think that's what you're creating with this person. And whoever this is also going to tell five of their friends. And this is how you're going to reach that goal that you want before 30. I'm going to say it right now. Before 30, you're going to reach your goals because you're creating more relationships than just money, right? And I think that's awesome that you're doing that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Felipe, and it's worked out great for me. I mean, and it goes beyond like even members of your core four, which a lot of people listen know that's your real estate agent, your contractor, your lender, your property manager. I can't tell you how many deals I've gotten from knowing the guy at the lumber yard or talking to the granite man about real estate because he owns a bunch of real estate too. Like there's been so many times where I found that I've received all of these deals just because I had the relationship with the person that I'm doing business with.
Agreed.
Okay, so we have a segment coming up, and I think you kind of already did our transition into the segment by saying that, but this segment is called the
MVP. MVP.
MVP.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
We know, and you all know, why it's super important that good tenant screening is absolutely critical to your management process. Luckily, Rent Ready, the comprehensive property management software, has a new feature that makes tenant screening a complete breeze. In addition to TransUnion certified tenant screening, Rent Ready now offers proof of income verification. So Rent Ready's automatic tenant proof of income verification ensures an in-depth check of each applicant's financial stability and earnings. With Plaid certified tenant income and asset reports, you can see a potential tenant's income summary and total earnings by month. It's time to say goodbye to that whole gut check tenant screening and feel confident renting out your property with Rent Ready. Now, Rent Ready is included in your pro membership at Bigger Pockets. If you're not a pro, they're offering the 6-month plan for only $1. Visit rentready.com. That's RENTREDI.com and use the code BP Investor. That's BP, like Bigger Pockets, Investor for 6 months of Rent Ready for only $1.
The dream of owning a vacation home can be daunting. From finding the best guests, to the maintenance, to organizing the cleaners after every guest day. With Vacasa, they make that dream into a reality. As a full-service vacation home management company with vacation homes in key destinations across the U.S., they know a thing about how to make owning a vacation home easy and profitable. On top of proactive property maintenance visits by professional local teams, a hospitality-driven booking platform, and around-the-clock support, Vacasa earns homeowners an average of 20% more revenue from their vacation homes. Vacasa is always thinking of ways to simplify the vacation home owning experience by putting your home to work for you. If you're looking to make more from your vacation home, work with the reliable property manager, and finally have peace of mind, partner with Vacasa at vacasa.com/biggerpockets. That's vacasa.com/biggerpockets. You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today.
And this is where we want to hear about the most valuable person on your team. Who is someone that has really helped you grow your real estate portfolio? And maybe it's a mentor, a realtor. Who is that person?
If I had to give my MVP right now, I'd have to go back to my lender that I talked about earlier, because I know about home equity line of credits and stuff from reading books, but I wasn't even thinking. I'm thinking conventional. And she brought up the home equity line of credit and somehow talked my parents into going along with it. So she'd definitely be my MVP. My dad being a contractor, he's helped a lot with all the deals that I've done, especially when I don't know how to do certain things. But I give my MVP to my lender and just all of the real estate mentors that I've annoyed on social media, including Felipe, because as soon as I got that DM, that he's considered my real estate mentor now.
Yeah,
there we go.
So, enough about Felipe. How did you pick that community bank? Was that where you had your checking accounts, or your parents had used them?
She's my dad's banker, so his relationship with her. Is something that, but I mean, she acted like she was my banker because she talked him into the idea, not me.
Yeah, so. That's great. What were some of the things you might have asked her, talked to her about that you can recommend to our listeners what they should look for in a lender? How will someone find a great lender like her?
Well, I'm a huge fan of the community bank model. So I would look there first do those things I said earlier, like less forms of creative financing. They need to do more forms of that, actually. And I just think it's the person. Like, she listened when I was telling her my real estate goals. And a lot of people would say, this is a 22-year-old kid, which is how old I was at the time, and say, what the heck is he talking about? He can't have 100 rental units. I don't know anyone with 100 rental units. I don't know anyone with $4 million net worth. And then just say, this kid's just crazy. But she listened to everything I was saying. And then not only did she listen, she thought up ways that I wasn't even thinking of that could just, like I said earlier, just catapult me into the future as far as real estate investing. And that was great.
It's really important because she listened to your goals. And then even though you had a vision of how you wanted to get there, maybe she found a little bit quicker way, right? Maybe you were going to take the stairs, and she was like, here's the escalator.
Exactly. Right?
This is how you can do it, but maybe a little quicker. So I love that. And I recently switched one of my banks because I went from one bank to another simply because of what you just said. They weren't listening to my goals. And what happened was I actually brought them a deal and I said, hey, look, there's this parcel. It's got 2 acres on it. Like I'm ready to buy it. It's 70,000 cash and it's valued at 150. And they said, sorry, we can't fund you, Felipe. They just didn't even like, just not sorry, why? No, just not why, not look at it. No, nothing. And in the back of my mind, I said, okay, I'm going to get this deal done. And when I get it done, sold and get my check, I'm going to come back to the bank and close the account if this actually works. And I did. I went back, I showed him the $70,000 profit. And I said, this is the deal that you told me no on. You didn't even ask me why. So I just closed all my accounts and I'm switching banks. Just because, like what you said, the relationships is so important. And if you don't have a good lender or a good banker who's going to listen to you and actually care about you, it's going to be harder as you go. So growing with your bank is really important. And I'm so happy that she listened to you and understood your goals and said, hey, that's an amazing goal. But what about this right here to get there quicker? And I think that's really going to help you out in the long run for sure.
Yeah, I bet that was the best feeling ever just to say, oh yeah, and then put it on the table.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your MVP with us. And if you guys want to find out more information about the bank or the lender that Prescott uses, go to biggerpockets.com/rookie32. Felipe, do you want to take us to the next segment?
Awesome. Okay. So Prescott, we're going to do the rookie request line. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
So, and then just so anyone who's listening, you can always reach us at 1-888-5-ROOKIE to leave a voicemail, and we might use it on the next show. All right, here's today's question.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Dalton from Massachusetts. I'm looking to get into a house hack sometime in the near future here, so I'm just starting to do my research and talk a lot about finding locations and analyzing deals, but what exactly do you go through when you analyze the deal?
As far as the things I go through, I basically just take my rental requirement list and match it up with comps for the community. Because I usually look for like distressed houses that look like they need a little bit of rehab. So I don't necessarily look at the house that I'm buying, but I take the houses in the normal house in the neighborhood and put in the numbers that I need on my rental requirement list to see once I finish with this home, will it match up with the community and end up being a great deal? So that's basically how I look for deals and send them through my rental requirement list.
Would you share some of those things on your list with us?
Oh, yeah. The 150% after repair value, the 25% equity upon rehab ending. It needs to be in a C neighborhood or better, which to me, a C neighborhood is somewhere I feel comfortable picking up rent, and then fall into the 1% rent rule, which, of course, is if you own a house for $100,000, that's worth $100,000, you should get at least $1,000 in rent. And $250 per unit per month, which is cash flow is important. I got it. I remember to hit that one.
So when you're analyzing a deal, you analyze it and then you go and you check your boxes. I think that is so important. And people get kind of wrapped up in analysis paralysis. But if you have that sheet showing what your requirements are, boom, you can boom through deals. Just fill them out. Okay, this box is not checked. Don't dwell on it. Move to the next deal or figure out how you can make it so that box is checked. So everyone, if you don't already, sit down and make your checklist of what a deal will work for you. How will you reach your goal? What is your goal? And then reverse engineer that, work backwards. What do you need in a property to reach your goal? Is that kind of how you did it with you checking all these boxes? Yeah,
for sure. Because I mean, I'm looking at 100 plus rental properties, prospective rental properties a day. And there's no way that you can just look at these deals emotionally. You'd never get through the list. You have to have like something set in stone that you're following by to narrow down and then to create a funnel, like Brandon Turner always says, to get to the best deal.
Yeah.
And that's part of just create, like you said, creating that funnel. And what you're going to do with those 100 properties is just create basically a machine where you're just oiling the machine, because you know that they all are basically the same thing, because you analyze them based off the same criteria. So you're going to have the same property over and over and over again. And there's nothing wrong with boring real estate. Everyone talks about, oh, real estate's sexy and all these perks and all these everything. But you're creating a list. You're going to buy little square boxes with roofs on them that fit that list over and over and over and over and over again. And that is how you're going to reach your millions quick.
Woo!
Let's go on to our random questions. These are a little bit real estate related, but just to give us a little bit more info about you. So the first question I have is, during your rehab, did anything happen to you, or did you find anything in the rehab, or anything just be a disaster? Do you have a really good rehab story for us?
I have a terrible rehab story. It's actually post-rehab, but it ended up being a rehab after this. So the house is finally finished. It took me about 3 months to rehab it. And I had some leftover flooring. And so I put the flooring in the attic, of course, so if anything ever happens, a crack, I could go pick it up. So my shift starts at 6:00. So at like 5:30, I'm already in my scrubs. I have my stethoscope on, like I am ready to go be a nurse. And I climb up the attic with this heavy flooring, And as anyone knows who's been in houses, like a lot of times they have like those those 2x4s that are like a foot apart in the attic, right? And yeah. So I'm walking on it in my nursing shoes, and somehow like I stumbled with the flooring and did a complete split. Like one foot went through the floor and it's like hanging, and my other foot is like almost to my ear, and I'm not a flexible guy. And the flooring fell through the attic as well. And like I had my back was hurting so bad at work the whole day. And the next day I had to like fix my mistake and re-put the floor back in the attic. And that was a terrible, horrible story, but it happened. God.
That's hilarious. Oh, clumsy.
I'm glad you survived it. That was a lot better answer than I expected.
That's really funny.
Oh my God. Yeah. A full split. I can only picture what you looked like hanging there. So did you have to pull yourself out or did you just drop?
So I thought about dropping because it was a depressing moment in life. So I thought, I thought about just doing an Eeyore and just sitting there, just giving up on life.
Just giving up on everything. Just take the L, Prescott, fall through, lay on your back. I quit.
But eventually I pulled myself out of there. And you have to do that in real estate. When you fall, you have to pull yourself out.
Yeah, there's a life lesson in that.
What a way to turn it around. I like that. What a way to turn it around. All right, Prescott, my turn. So I got a question, man. What's one piece of technology that you use to manage your rental properties? Because I feel like they're in different spots right now. So what's your one piece of technology that you couldn't go without?
My cell phone, which I have a bunch of apps, which that's an easy answer because your cell phone encompasses like everything. When COVID first started, I remember one of the banks, like the bank I use shut down, and the people pay for me is they use my bank account number. So basically they go to the bank with my bank account number and name and they pay, and then the bank gives them a receipt and they send me a picture of it. And that's how that transaction is handled. And the bank wasn't doing this when COVID first started. And so they were able to cash at me the money, which isn't something that I do exclusively, but it really helped with me. As far as like landlord apps, I have some of them on my phone, but I haven't really used them as much as I should. I have my own spreadsheets that I go off of.
Since you're self-managing, what do you do for your maintenance calls? And are you doing the maintenance yourself?
Okay, so I'm doing the maintenance myself. And this is a great story. Of course, when I plan on getting big, so I understand I'm going to have to scale and I'm not going to be able to do maintenance forever, especially with these houses being like an hour apart. So both of the homes were, like I said, I went through and remodeled everything. So it's not very common for any call to be made. The house in Hattiesburg, I'm getting $1,300 and rent a month. I've only had one call on it, and I haven't had any calls on the Katrina Cottage. And I remember when I got the call, just like this feeling of being super stressed out, and they called to tell me that the AC unit had stopped working. And it's the middle of summer. It's super hot in Mississippi. It was like in the 90s. Of course, I called, and I'm stressed out, and I told her, you know, just, did you change the vent? Which they said they changed the vent, but amazingly, after I told them, did you change the vent? They changed it, and I told them to vacuum under the AC, and it magically started working. So that one call, I remember being so stressed out about it, and I'm thinking, like, I literally have had this house for 9 months, and it's made me $7,000, and I just fixed the problem with one five-minute phone call. I was like, you are worth $7,000 every 5 minutes, and you had the audacity to be stressed out about it.
That is such a great way to look at it.
100. I love that. I'm going to start using that. I like that a lot, Prescott. Yep, that's exactly right. That happened to me. I sometimes get these calls, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this got to get fixed right now, and I'm freaking out. And then I step back, and I'm like, no, this is normal. Things are going to break. The garage door is going to stop working. It's okay. Make 3 phone calls. The tenant, the garage man, back to the tenant saying it's done. It's okay. So yeah, no, I totally get it.
And I really like too that you tried to troubleshoot it over the phone too, instead of just saying, okay, I'll be there in an hour. I think that saves a lot of people a lot of time, where when there are these certain maintenance issues, you can give them a couple things over the phone to do. Outlets aren't working. Okay, did you click the little GFI button? I mean, that's been a common one for me to say to people.
Ashley tells her tenants to use the fork with the. Ashley says, use the fork to click the GFCI button. That's what Ashley tells them to do.
If it shocks you, it's working.
You're good.
So the next random question we have is, what is the best habit you have formed?
You see how Ashley does me? She took my question because she did. You see, we're supposed to go back and forth. You see how that is? I get run over.
The best. The best.
Wait, I thought you just went.
The best habit I formed. I have a lot of habits. So I'm a real organized guy. So like if I come up with a checklist for that day, like I'll almost kill myself to like finish to get to the end of that checklist, which isn't great all the time. But like I use reminders in my phone, and like I almost like live by those reminders. So that's a great habit I formed. I work out all the time. That's been great. I read 10 pages. I mean, my biceps don't look like Felipe's, but they're pretty strong, if I could say so myself. And just working out, reading every day, listening to podcasts, and following my checklist. I'd say those are my go-to daily habits.
100%. After we stop recording, I know there's going to be a flex off between the two of you.
Prescott, you don't want the smoke, man.
You're closer to the camera.
It's the angles. It's the angles.
Oh, my God.
People go on IG and they're like, it's the angles. Sorry, go ahead.
Scott, can you tell everyone where they can find out some more information about you? And if they can reach out to you, where would they find you?
Okay, y'all can reach out to me whenever you want to. I love to talk real estate and finances. My Instagram is Prescott_Williams. Prescott, Prescott underscore Williams. And my Facebook is Prescott Williams as well. A YouTube channel will be here soon, but I don't know.
Oh, exciting.
Yet.
Cool. Yeah, we'll watch
I'll have
for
to follow
it.
Yeah. For sure.
So thank you so much for coming on the show today. I don't think I have laughed. I mean, my dad tells me I giggle a lot on the show, but I don't think I've laughed this much.
It's a great show.
So
I loved it.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thank you so much. And you are doing awesome. And I can't wait to have you back on the show again and see where you are to reach those 30-year goals.
Absolutely. Crush it, Prescott. Seriously, man. Thanks for coming on the show. We'll be looking forward to following you and seeing how those deals turn out.
Gotcha. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate it.
I'm Ashley at Wealth from Rentals, and he's Felipe at Felipe Mejia, REI. We'll see you next week.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals. Enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and boom, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.